Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
The cathedral begins a new preaching series this month. It's called A Table for All. The series explores Christian theology as it relates to food and hospitality. And we are delighted this morning to welcome our first guest preacher, the Reverend Laurel Dykstra. Laurel is an Anglican priest, community-based activist, and scholar living in Vancouver. Laurel is the author of Set Them Free, The Other Side of Exodus, the editor of Bury the Dead, Stories of Death and Dying, Resistance and Discipleship, and a contributor to Wrongs to Rights, How Churches Can Engage the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, as well as another book by the title Christians and Feminism. Laurel has a BSc in biology and knows the species and geography of this bioregion. And with a Master of Divinity from Episcopal Divinity School, Laurel is keen to share a biblical and theological vision that includes a deep appreciation of how God can be encountered in the natural world. Since 2015, Laurel has served as the coordinator and ordained leader of the diocesan ministry, Salal and Cedar. Welcome, Laurel.
I pray that between the words that were written, the words that are spoken, and the words that are heard, together we discern the word of God. Amen. So talk to me at coffee hour about the ministry of Salal and Cedar and our community of outdoor worship and social change. And while we are here reflecting on scripture and tradition, we're going to mostly talk about food. I was invited because of the work that Salal and Cedar does around food justice and around our spiritual commitment to watershed and place. So here we are, gathered around a table that is the place of our most practiced and practical sacrament, a holy meal. Towards the end of a harvest season, in a church that hosts a feeding program, in a sanctuary full of decorative groceries, on a civic holiday dedicated to giving thanks. Now, the first Canadian Thanksgiving was, at least so the Book of Alternative Services says, celebrated by the explorer Frobisher after coming safely through an ice storm in 1578. Then, about 1606, there was a series of mandatory community meals in one of the early settler colonies that were all about avoiding scurvy. Fleeing Empire loyalists brought a traditional menu with them when they came from the United States. And in 1872, Canadian Thanksgiving celebrated the recovery of the Prince of Wales from a bout of illness. For about 10 years, Armistice Day and Thanksgiving Day were celebrated together. And the current date wasn't established until 1957. I bet there's at least one person in the room who can remember before that. So our tradition, our thing, little bit of a mashup. But what has been consistent historically is that it's about giving thanks. And everybody here, whether you have had a really good year or whether you have had an incredibly difficult year, whether you're dealing with loss of a loved one or health issues or housing problems, or conflict in a relationship. Everyone here has something to be thankful for. Clean drinking water. This incredibly beautiful place where we live. A quiet walk that we're able to take. Maybe the birth of a grandchild. Everybody can think and name in your own mind the things that you have to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for, but it's complicated. It's complicated because we're thankful here on Coast Salish territory. And most of us aren't Coast Salish. It's complicated because wild salmon, the creatures whose river to ocean and back again life cycle every school kid learns, the iconic food source that supported coastal indigenous culture to reach a peak in art and song and culture and ceremony, once so abundant that settler diaries complain they could not sleep at night for the sound of spawning salmon in the river a mile away. Fish so abundant that they've changed the chemistry of forests have been devastated by commercial fishing, hydroelectric dams, increasing water temperatures, and disease introduced by Atlantic farmed salmon in floating pens that are exported to the tune of $500 million from this province. While our resident orca population is dying of starvation for lack of their staple food. Giving thanks here is complicated because the Fraser Valley has some of the best agricultural land on the planet. And there is immense pressure for that food-providing land to become housing. And not affordable housing, but tens and even hundreds of thousands of square foot mansions. And the folks who are for the most part working that land are guest agricultural workers from Mexico, parts of Latin America, and the Caribbean, who can work in Canada for 8 months of the year for decades on end, paying into Social Security, employment insurance, which they can never access. Living in substandard and dangerous housing and working conditions, tied to a single employer. So if you complain, guess what? You get sent back. And ineligible for citizenship. Being thankful here is complicated because food banks, which were intended as temporary emergency measures, are now celebrating their 40th and their 50th anniversaries. And about 12% of households in BC experience food insecurity. Not knowing where meals will come from. Making decisions not to pay other bills in order to buy food. Some family members eating less so that other family members can eat more. That's one in six kids in this province. 34% of female-headed households. In immigrant communities, the percent is higher. In Indigenous communities, higher still. In this Lower Fraser watershed, giving thanks is complicated because we are part of a web of power relations. Food insecurity, environmental racism, colonization, extraction, global food systems that move the things, the beautiful and good things that we are thankful for in certain directions, towards some and away from others. And most of us are closer to the center of that web of global relationships than we are to the margins. Some of the things that we think about as blessings might be more like spoils. So how do we, faithful people, thank God in a way that doesn't confuse God with the forces of global capitalism or colonization? How do we keep from taking God's name in vain by implying that God, who gave us turkeys and pies and cranberries, gave our neighbor Kraft dinner and a tin of beans? Or our neighbors globally, climate-related disaster and famine? How do we make visible the invisible subsidies that we are living with? The work of agricultural laborers, the land that provides our food that is someone else's territory. Now, unfortunately, our lectionary readings don't have a lot to offer. They're about as much a mashup as the origins of our feast itself. In Deuteronomy, there are instructions to the Israelites not to give themselves credit for the abundance of the land and the wealth that it produces. Pretty good. The land in question, however, is the land of Canaan. And the preceding chapter, all of chapter 7, is all about how once the original inhabitants of the land have been vanquished, you better not marry them and you better not pray like they do. The epistle, which I'm pretty sure they included just because it uses the word Thanksgiving, is an ancient fundraising letter. And the very kindest interpretation would say that Paul is using gentle humor. Less kind interpretations would say that it's a whole lot of manipulation and guilt tripping. The gospel is a finger-wagging little fable with a whole lot to unpack about health and cure and disability and what it means to use people with disabilities and people who are immigrants as symbols, but we won't talk about this today. And the whole point of which seems to be, don't forget to say thank you. They're not offering us a lot of direction. And I put these challenges and questions to you not to dump on your Thanksgiving, and not, as Paul seems to be, to try and make you feel guilty, but because these are the questions of my faith that I struggle with. And I believe that you, who have initiated this sermon series on food, that you who host the Monday Cafe, that some of you are grappling with these questions too. So what I want to share, the good news that I want to bring, is that our faith and our God is big enough for our doubts and our questioning. That God is not praised by our willful ignorance or our surface engagement. Our tradition has at its heart table and transformation. So as we struggle to give thanks from this complicated place in the Lower Fraser Watershed, I would offer three spiritual kinds of engagement that invite transformation, that open us up. And I really encourage you to practice these and not sit and politely listen to them, but afterwards to think and do. So from the ministry of Salal and Cedar, I encourage you to listen for the voice of God in creation. As the psalmist says, the pastures of the wilderness overflow, and the hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. What does that voice sound like here and smell and taste like in the Lower Fraser Watershed? like sword ferns, black bear, cedar trees, or the mother orca grieving for her calf, whose body she carried for 17 days. Practice giving and receiving. Practice it in a deep and different and radical way. The Deuteronomy passage is super accurate about how easy it is to mistake what we have, especially if we've worked for it, for what we deserve, or what we've created ourselves. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of mine own hand have gained me this wealth. Practice some really radical, no strings attached giving, where the person or the community that you give to decides what they do with your gift. Not a McDonald's certificate so you won't buy drugs. Not checking to make sure that you really find that the donor base is in line with the values that you have, but wild and scattering, seed on the ground kind of giving. So often, what we call giving is actually about the exercise of control. Exercise some other muscles. What about the practice of receiving? The practice of accepting gifts from someone who you think has less than you. From somebody who you think you know better than. Or eating across the table from one another, as opposed to doling out soup across a countertop. And the third thing is to go deeper into sacrament, to gather closer around this table. It's no accident that the biggest thing we do here happens at a table, or that Eucharist actually means thanksgiving. In the ancient world and in the modern world, our purity codes have to do with food, who we eat with, whose hand we would let in our bag of chips, who we share a meal with. And this table, this sacrament we practice, deals profoundly with the realities of access to food, abundance, and scarcity. The feeding miracles, the manna in the wilderness, the stories that are at this table profoundly address the questions that make our Thanksgiving so complicated. Another thing that the Deuteronomy passage gets really right is the profound connection between land, food, God, and justice. When we receive much from the abundance of the land, Deuteronomy tells us we must not forget God and God's commandments of justice, of economic and social transformation. The meal that we celebrate here is part of the answer to the question, how do we give thanks in a broken world? How do we give thanks in a world that breaks others and breaks us? From this table, we must go together into that broken world, not to save it, as Christians have been too much a part of that problem for too long, but humbly and together with whoever will have us as allies, we must have the radical trust and the open-handedness to use what we have not for charity, but for transformation. The transformation that happens inside us and happens outside in the world. And if we cannot, then our Thanksgiving blesses inequity. Then our sacrament itself is broken. We cannot only give thanks, we must do thanks. We must be thanksgiving. giving in the world. And in that I pray that together we are transformed. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.